You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Well, I must say, I hope that you have enjoyed this study on Mary, the undoer of knots. You know, God doesn't leave us without assistance in our effort to lead a virtuous life. You know, in addition to the help of His grace, the intercession of the Blessed Mother, and the example of the saints that I had reviewed with you, God also gives each soul an angelic guide to prompt us to choose good and avoid evil. In this Mary Undoer of the Knots devotional series that we've done, we've learned how to entrust our Blessed Mother with the tangled knots in our lives. We've learned how to cooperate with the work that she is doing to unravel our knots by practicing important spiritual disciplines in the Catholic tradition, remaining in a state of grace, maintaining interior peace and silence, abandoning ourselves to God's providence, and practicing the presence of God, keeping custody of the mind and heart, and following the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, fostering a spirit of detachment, right, and cultivating a daily habit of prayer. Our Blessed Mother wants to take your problems and mine into her hands while inspiring us to be holy children after her own heart. She knows that being united to God is the only way for us to be truly happy in this life and the next. We are not alone in this spiritual endeavor. In the Mary Undoer of Knots painting, while Our Lady unravels Wolfgang's knotted ribbon, Wolfgang is being guided to the church by his guardian angel. This is a faithful depiction of the invisible spiritual realm. We are not without a close companion in our journey of faith. God has given each soul a guardian angel to assist us throughout our lives and to safely conduct us along the road to heaven. So I have spent in another broadcast regarding angels that, you know, that they are pure spiritual beings. They have intellect and will just like humans. Unlike humans, though, they do not possess material bodies and are neither male nor female. And angels are of a higher created order than humans. Therefore, they're incredibly powerful and intelligent. They have a perfect understanding of human nature. In fact, of all created natures, they interact with the material world at God's command. Angels do not move from location to location. Rather, they act instantaneously whenever they direct their intellect and will. And this is why they are depicted with wings in Catholic art. Angels are far more active in the lives of humans than we realize. Every angel was created by God for a specific task or a mission. In fact, the word angel comes from a Greek word meaning messenger. Saint Augustine explains that while God created a myriad of spiritual beings, the ones called angels are His messengers. Therefore, angel is a description of their function rather than their nature. The angels are spirits. All right, so I just make sure this is Saint Augustine quoting. The angels are spirits, but it is not because they are spirits that they are angels. They become angels when they are sent, for the name angel refers to their office, not to their nature. You ask the name of this nature, it is spirit. You ask its office, it is that of an angel. In as far as he exists, an angel is a spirit. In as far as he acts, he is an angel. So many church fathers and doctors have written about guardian angels. Among them, St. Thomas Aquinas, right? According to Aquinas, our guardian angels act upon our intellect, through our senses and our imagination, in order to influence us to do good and to avoid evil. Our guardian angels do not control us or violate our free will, but they do prompt us to follow God's will for our lives. They also protect us from danger, help us to fulfill the duties of our state in life, and assist us in prayer and meditation on the divine things of God. And many times that I've done Bible study, there's never been a class without an angel story of someone giving a testimony of their witness or encounter with an angel. And that includes your host. It is a firmly established Catholic belief that God assigns a messenger or guardian angel to each human being to watch over their body and soul and lead them to salvation. And this truth has led Saint Jerome to explain how great the dignity of the soul, since each one has from his birth an angel commissioned to guard it. So when I'm thinking of my precious little grandson, Jesus, Almighty God, has sent him an angel to watch over him. Thank goodness for that. Psalm 90, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Okay, he sends angels to protect you. Okay, even in Psalm 91, the protection Psalm, you'll find that as well. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, see that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven, right? So a danger to avoid. There is one particular danger when it comes to interacting with our guardian angels. Number one, trying to discover their name or identity or assigning a name to them. This error, you know, I can understand it, but given that when two humans form a relationship, knowing each other's name is the first step. However, there is a distinction that must be acknowledged if we're to behave appropriately in respect to our guardian angels. Among humans, we are equals. But this isn't the case between us and the angels. God created a multitude of angels, and yet he has revealed the names of only three in sacred scripture: Saint Gabriel, Saint Michael, and Saint Raphael. We should not attempt to discover the names of other angels. This knowledge is above our state, and to seek it would be irreverent. Not irrelevant, irreverent. Sacred scripture gives us an account of a man who tried to probe the name of an angel who was sent to him as a messenger to no avail. When an angel appeared to Samson's mother, as recorded in the book of Judges, she told her husband, "A man of God came to me. He had the appearance of an angel of God, fearsome indeed. I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and bear a son.' When the angel returned, Samson's father asked him, 'What is your name, that we may honor you when your words come true?' The angel of the Lord answered him, 'Why do you ask my name? It is wondrous.'" Neither should we assign a name to our angel, because this is because the act of naming carries great significance. To name something is to claim authority over it. as explained by our late Pope Benedict XVI, he said, knowing someone's name implies a kind of power over that person, because in the biblical mentality, the name contains the most profound reality of the individual. It reveals the person's secret and destiny. Knowing one's name therefore means knowing the truth about the other person, and this allows one to dominate him. Unquote. It is not within the authority of humans to give names to creatures of a higher created order than us. Therefore, we shouldn't even attempt to name our guardian angel. Another, in addition to that, of towards holy things, there is also the danger of deception. When we attempt to discover the name of our guardian angel, we would then look for signs of our response. And since God has not permitted humans to know the names of their guardian angels, we could mistake many things for signals that would be nothing of the sort, and we would only be deluding ourselves. Not only that, but just as we are always in the company of angels, so too we are in the company of demons. If a demon perceives that we are trying to discover the name of our guardian angel, knowing what we will mistake as signs, they can deceive us by sending false signals. And if they observe that we are following that deception, they can lead us far astray from God's path. The church also warns us against the practice of naming angels for our own protection. Like ill-advised attempts to inappropriately communicate with the spirit world, doing so can open us up to demonic influence. According to the Directory on Popular Piety and the Liturgy from the Holy See's Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, the practice of assigning names to the holy angels should be discouraged, except in the cases of Gabriel, Raphael, and Michael, whose names are contained in Holy Scripture. Okay? So, I'm just keeping an eye on the time. That's good. All right. So, the saints are our example of a genuine and pious relationship with our guardian angels. Many saints were granted the privilege of being able to see and converse openly with their guardian angel. A few saints who famously wrote about these experiences include Saint Padre Pio, right? He could see his guardian angel and would often send him on special missions. Saint Faustina Kowalska, whose guardian angel accompanied her to observe the pains of the holy souls in purgatory. Saint Gemma Galgani, whose angel often rebuked her for her bad behavior. For example, Saint Gemma Galgani recorded this interaction with her guardian angel in her autobiography, and here's what she says. One evening when I was suffering more than usual, I was complaining to Jesus and telling him that I would not have prayed so much if I had known that he was not going to cure me, and I asked him why I had to be sick this way. My angel answered me as follows, "If Jesus afflicts you in your body, it is always to purify you in your soul. Be good." Many other saints have spoken of the importance of having recourse to our guardian angels to assist and enlighten us in times of trouble. All right, Saint John Vianney, our guardian angels, quote, "Our guardian angels are our most faithful friends because they are with us day and night, always and everywhere. We ought often to invoke them," right? Saint Augustine, "The angels go in and out with us, having their eyes always fixed upon us and upon all that we are doing. If we stop anywhere, they stop also. If we go forth to walk, they bear us company. If we journey into another country, they follow us. Go where we will, by land or by sea, they are ever with us." Isn't that a blessing, brothers and sisters? What comfort is that? Like what God does for us to help us, to help us on our way, to strengthen our faith, to give us joy, to fill us with his love and peace. And just knowing that God didn't put us on this earth to be alone and to struggle. We have our guardian angel. We have the Blessed Mother to intercede for us. We have countless numerous saints that we can ask for thy intercession. Myself, through Saint Therese and through Saint Cherbel, Saint Padre Pio, right? I've gone to quite a few, Saint Anthony, right? So I've gone through different ones, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure you have too. And this is God's mercy showing upon humanity that I put you on this earth. I don't want you to struggle. I want you to know that I'm here, and I bring helpers to you to help you along the way. I know you're going to be suffering because we've been born into sin. We are sinners, and so we're going to struggle, but we don't have to struggle on our own. And when we're praying, we must know that we're not praying by ourselves, right? And that we can ask our guardian angel to help us and to intercede for us to our Blessed Mother, right? And we can do the same with all the angels and saints, right? But how beautiful is that? What a comfort it is, you know, no matter how weak we are, no matter what we're tempted with, no matter what we're afflicted with, we have help on this earth. We're not alone. That's the beauty of being a Christian, right? So, brothers and sisters, let me just say that, you know, this gives us enough to understand that many and equally important services that come from our Lord that he does for us, and they do not fall under our sight, and they are wrought by our angels, the guardians of our salvation, in our interest and for our advantage, right? So our guardian angels assist us in so many ways, listed by the Benedictine Convent of Perpetual Adoration. Okay, there's seven of them, okay? And I'm just going to say them quickly. Number one, they preserve us from many unknown dangers to soul and body. Two, they defend us against temptations of the evil spirits. Three, they inspire us with holy thoughts and prompt us to deeds of virtue in the divine service. Remember, don't ever think, oh, I thought of that myself. Nothing. We don't think of anything ourselves. If we have faith in God, we know where our blessings are from, right? They warn us of, number four, they warn us of spiritual dangers and admonish us when we have sinned. Number five, they unite with us in prayer and offer our prayers to God. Number six, they defend us at the hour of death and at the last attacks of our spiritual foes. And number seven, they console the souls languishing in purgatory and conduct them to heaven when their faults have been fully expiated, right? So if you want to have a devotion to your guardian angel, well, you know, there is a way to go about this. Because we're his children, he appoints us to us, he appoints to us as tutors of the, as the princes of his realm, to hold it and honor to have us in their charge. Because we are his members, he wills that these very spirits that minister unto him be also at our side to render us their service. Because we are his temples, right? God's temples in which he himself dwells, he wills that angels hover about us, that do about our churches, so that bowed down in worship before him, they may offer a perpetual homage to his glory, supplying for our neglect and making reparation for our reverence. Our guardian angels keep us in constant touch with heaven, and to derive that full profit from his guardianship, we can do no better than to direct our thoughts frequently to our guardian angel, making him the object of our veneration, our confidence, and our love. We venerate him by hailing him as one of those privileged beings who ever see the face of God and who are to us the representatives of our Heavenly Father. Therefore, we should do nothing that could displease or sadden our angel. On the contrary, we must strive to give him proof of our respect by emulating his fidelity and loyalty in God's service. This is indeed the most touching way in which we can attest our esteem for him. We show him our confidence by bearing in mind the mighty protection he furnishes us. and his unfailing goodness towards us in his God-given charges. Since he is a master in foiling the wiles of the devil, we should invoke him, especially when we are assailed by this treacherous foe, and in all dangerous occasions in which his foresight will be of great help. We should likewise call for his assistance when determining our vocation, right? When we're making decisions, ask the guardian angel to help you, right? Invoke the guardian angel. Finally, in all important affairs with others, it is well to address ourselves to their guardian angels, that these persons may be well disposed toward the mission we are about to discharge in their belief. That's brothers, that's a new one for me. I didn't realize that, but that's such a good point, right? It is well to address ourselves to their guardian angels, that these persons may be well disposed toward the mission we're about to discharge in their behalf. So in other words, it's good to ask all the guardian angels that you're coming. Maybe you're going to be giving a talk and you're asking the guardian angels to prepare their charges, that they have an open heart, a gentle heart, that they receive the message with love, with joy, all in goodness, and seeing that we're striving for goodness and for truth and for peace and for love and for friendship, that kind of thing is sort of like prefacing before. I know when I read, I say a quick little prayer and just say, Lord, open their hearts of the congregation, and may use my mouth and use my voice, and may the words that come out be food and nourishment to their souls as they're sitting and listening, no matter what they've come to church with that morning, and I pray for that. And it's, I always pray that the Lord use me and just use what I have and for his glory, for his honor. Right? That's all. So, brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question today. How is my relationship with my guardian angel? Do I listen to him? Do I say good morning to him in the morning? Do I ask him, watch over me when I sleep? Do I speak with him? Do I ask his advice? He is by my side. We can answer this question today, each of us. How is our relationship with this angel that the Lord has sent to watch over me and accompany me on my journey, and who always sees the face of the Father who is in heaven? And guess who said all that? No, it wasn't me. It was Pope Francis. Yeah. We have a loving Father in heaven who generously bestows many gifts on his children. Let us show him our love and gratitude by acknowledging and making better use of his gifts, right? Each of us has a purpose and a reason to be here. Maybe your family member might say, oh, you were the accident, or it was an accident. Nothing is by accident, according to God. Nothing. Everything has a purpose and a reason to be here. And you have a purpose, and you have gifts, you have talent, and it's God wants you to use them and share them with others. And if you say, well, I can't play the piano, I don't know how to sing, I'm not an artist, I don't write well, believe me, brothers and sisters, every one of us has been bestowed with talents and all kinds of gifts. Every single one. God chose you. Remember what I used to say to the kids when in science, your fingerprint, no one else has it. You are as unique as can be. There is no one like you. And that's what you must remember. You are so important and so loved and so valued in God's eyes. God loves you. God loves you more than your own parents, more than your best friend, more than your spouse, more than anyone. God loves you. So with that in mind, you're never walking on this earth alone. Never, never. So here's a quick little guardian angel prayer, and then we will close this off. And I hope that you've enjoyed these last few broadcasts on Mary, Undoer of Knots, and pray that, and you know what? We'll also end it with the last one of the prayer Mary, undoer of knots. Let me just, I had it all this month, the broadcast, and hopefully I have it here, as you can hear me rustling the paper. Oh my goodness gracious. Always when you want to find something, and can I find it? Well, you know, with time going, no, I cannot find it. It should be here, but you have heard it many a time, and I'm surprised that I don't have it here. How is that even possible? Sometimes I often wonder. All right, but that's okay. That's okay. It's all right. It's all good. All right, brothers and sisters, thanks again. Thanks so much for being with me. Oh, here it is right in front of me. Hello. Okay, so let's do that, and then the guardian angel. We'll do the guardian angel first, and prayer to Mary, undoer of knots, and close up. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Virgin Mary, Mother of fair love, Mother who never refuses to come to the aid of a child in need, Mother whose hands never cease to serve your beloved children because they are moved by the divine love and immense mercy that exists in your heart, cast your compassionate eyes upon me and see the snarl of knots that exist in my life. You know very well how desperate I am, my pain, and how I am bound by these knots. Mother Mary, to whom God entrusted the undoing of the knots in the lives of his children, I entrust into you, your hands, the ribbon of my life. No one, not even the evil one himself, can take it away from your precious care. In your hands, there is no knot that cannot be undone. Powerful Mother, by your grace and intercessory power, with your Son and my Liberator, Jesus, take into your hands today this knot and mention your request, friends. I beg you to undo it for the glory of God once and for all. You are my hope, O my Lady. You are the only consolation God gives me, the fortification of my feeble strength, the enrichment of my destitution, and with Christ, the freedom from my chains. Hear my plea. Keep me, guard me, protect me, O safe refuge. Mary, undoer of knots, pray for me. Amen.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single. Just a single day.